Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, Jake. Welcome to this gathering of Vine Street Baptist Church. I have a few announcements, as always. Number one is following our Christmas Eve service, which is Sunday, December 24th, if you didn't know that. It's before Christmas at 6 p.m. We're having a cookie reception afterward. Encouraging you all to bring cookies to share. I think a few years ago we had like some kind of competition. And so if we all bring enough cookies, maybe we can discuss who has the best cookie, and that'd be fun. And by default, who has the worst cookie, but we won't say. But it'll be super fun for everyone to bring cookies and for us to have fellowship. So please look forward to that and find a good recipe. Number two, this Wednesday is our last men's discipleship group before our break in January, so please look forward to that. And then tonight we have prayer meeting at 5. One more thing, downstairs in the fellowship hall, don't go down there. It's over here, out in the hallway. There are some office supplies that you can take if you need it for your kiddos for school, or you need it for your own school or own office work at home. Please feel free to grab some free office supplies. I don't know what's there. Is there like pencils and pens?
There's staplers, pencils, pens, erasers.
Awesome. Wow. Yeah, good stuff. I don't have a stapler, so get yourself a stapler if you don't have one. Cool. If you guys would just join me for a moment, silently transitioning from crazy announcements to our service. Take a few moments, silent reflection and prayer, and let's ask God to be with us this morning. I hear this call to worship from Psalm 66, 1 through 5. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name, Selah. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of man. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and we ask that you would please be with us in your spirit and in your holy presence. Lord, convict us in our worship and our hearing of the word preached. We pray that you would convict us, bring us to our knees, Lord. Remind us of your awesomeness. In your name, amen.
Amen. Would you stand and sing this one?
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while veils and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding. Thank you. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow. For as the curse is found, for as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. We light our second Advent candle to remind us of the prophets who saw from afar the coming of our Savior. May we rejoice in the mystery that has been revealed in Jesus. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. For unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
Unto us a child is born,
and he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Would you please now stand and sing again, and know that Jesus will reign forever and ever and evermore.
In the bleak midwinter, all creation groans, darkness frozen like a stone. Light is breaking in a stable for a throne. If I were a wise man, I would travel far. If I were a shepherd, I would do my part. But poor as I am, to him my heart. Jesus shall reign forevermore, forevermore. And he shall reign forevermore, forevermore. Unto us a child is born, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He shall reign forevermore, forevermore. Starry skies, this baby born for sacrifice, Christ the Messiah. Into our hopes, into our fears, the Savior of the world appears, the promise of eternal years, Christ the Messiah. Here within a manger lies the one who made the starry skies, this baby born for sacrifice, Christ the Messiah. Into our hopes, into our fears, the Savior of the world appears, the promise of eternal years, Christ the Messiah. And he shall reign forevermore, forevermore. And he shall reign forevermore, forevermore. child is born, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he shall reign forevermore, forevermore, and he shall reign forevermore, forevermore, and he shall reign forevermore, forevermore.
If you would, please take a few moments and silently confess your sins of this week to the Lord. Amen. Now, please follow along with me on the screen as we read aloud our corporate confession. Gracious God, our sins are too heavy to carry, too real to hide, and too deep to undo. Forgive what our lips tremble to name, what our hearts can no longer bear, and what has become for us a consuming fire of judgment. Set us free from a past that we cannot change. Open to us a future in which we can be changed. And grant us grace to grow more and more in your likeness and image. Through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Amen. Well, please receive the scripture of pardon taken from Hebrews chapter 9. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made by hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Well, now that we have confessed and received pardon, I urge you to turn to your brothers and sisters and greet them in the name of Christ.
Shine. you can find your seat. We will continue in our worship service. Right. So I mentioned last week, in the season of Advent, we light Advent candles, and each week we're kind of moving chronologically through the Bible for those who prepared the way for the coming Christ. We had Abraham, who kind of stood for the patriarchs, obeyed the call of God to go by faith into a land that was not yet their own. That was last week. This week we heard from Isaiah, who stands for the prophets, who prophesied, not seeing clearly, but prophesied the coming of the Christ. And so each, with kind of going along with the Advent candle readings, our prayer time together during Advent will also be a little bit different and with more of kind of a prayerful meditation on the theme of that week. And so just a reminder, at times throughout my prayer, I'll pause, and that's just an opportunity for you to pray quietly along the same lines of whatever was prayed and join in that way. So please join with me as we come before the Lord together in prayer. Jesus Christ, Son of God, Son of David, we gather together this morning to confess that you are the light of the world. We remember your humility and that you were willing to be born as a weak and vulnerable baby so that you might come into our darkness and take our sin and conquer death. This morning we lament and we grieve that we still live in a world of darkness. We grieve and we lament the violence in Israel and Palestine and in Ukraine and in the countless other places that don't make the news. O Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Jesus, we grieve, but we do not grieve without hope. For in you and in you alone is the salvation of the world. What our brothers, the prophets, saw dimly, we now see by faith, that you are our hope and our strength. Come now, Lord Jesus, and shine your light into the brokenness of our world. O Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Jesus, shine your light into the darkness of our own hearts, where we have harbored bitterness or envy or fear or lust. We repent. Dispel the night with the light of your gracious presence. O Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. King Jesus, we proclaim with Isaiah the prophet that your throne is one of justice and righteousness, and it will endure forever. We offer all of our lives before you in humble and grateful surrender. O Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we also pray for those who are not able to be with us this morning. We pray for Juanita and Maple and Brenda and Norm and Carol and Ronnie. May your face shine upon them this morning and may you give them your peace. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Will please stand for our confession of faith. Christian, what do you believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. At this time, we'll dismiss our kids and workers for nursery. Please remain standing as we continue in worship.
Spring from on high and cause thy light on us to rise. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night and death's dark shadow put to fly. Rejoice, rejoice. To heaven's door, be thou a comforter and guide, and lead us to the Father's side. Rejoice. Sacrifice our only plea. The judgment we no longer fear. Thy precious blood has brought us near. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel has banished every fear of hell. O come, thou King of nations, bring an end to all our suffering. Beat every pain and sorrow cease, and reign now as our Prince of Peace. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. Rejoice, rejoice. Shall come. begin with us to dwell.
Would you please now remain standing for our sermon scripture reading?
Our scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. Oh, those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer, want, and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Hear the word of the Lord.
Would you pray with me? Oh, gracious Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this time that we get to turn to your word. And Lord, we ask that you would refresh us, that we would be renewed in your word. Father, I ask that you would help me to proclaim Christ freely and fully. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Growing up, my parents told my siblings and I that home was the safest place that we could be. My father worked hard to provide a roof over our head and food on our table. And my mother, she worked diligently in the house, turning it from a house into a home. From the color of the paint on the walls, the furniture, the smells, the candles she would light, but most importantly, the friendly welcome upon arrival. I was blessed to be in a home that wasn't filled with strife or malice. My home was a refuge from the outside world, a place I could escape to and know that I was loved and cared for and secure. But eventually, like all children, you grow up and you leave home. You leave your refuge. For some of us, that might have been a thrilling experience. Others, maybe a more painful one. But regardless, we all left. And during this time of leaving, my parents reminded me of what the other safest place was: church. See, for those of us who were raised in Christian families, who faithfully raised us in accordance with God's word, we see that the family of God, the body of Christ, or the church is supposed to feel like home, a safe place, a refuge. And it's odd, right? We all understand that there is a requirement on each of our family members to love us, to care for us. But the church is made up of non-legal family members. Now, I love all of you equally, but none of you are my kin. So it's weird that there's so much family resemblance here. So how can it be that the church is to be considered our refuge? It's because the church is supposed to be a reflection of God and who he is. It's the reason I became a member at Vine Street. I walked through those doors one Sunday morning and was greeted by Chandler and others. People approached me and asked me how I was. It reminded me of home and the refuge that we all long for. In Psalm 34, David writes of what it means to take refuge in God. So our outline this morning is going to be these three points. The first point, when God is our refuge, our response will be. It's verses 1 to 3. Our second point, when God is our refuge, our experience will be. Verses 4 to 14. And our third point, when God is our refuge, he is our redeemer. Verses 15 to 22. So point one, when God is our refuge, our response will be. Follow along with me, verses 1 to 3. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. So for context, this psalm was most likely written after David was on the run from Saul and came before the king of Gath. And he's got spittle down his beard and he's drawing on a wall, acting crazy, going cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, right? And the king's men, they bring him before the king of Gath, and the king of Gath's like, listen, I got enough madmen, get this guy out of here, right? But David, he correctly attributes his escape to the Lord, and then he breaks out in praise. And David was a man that knew the Lord was his ultimate refuge. And you don't have to look very far to get a biblical sense of this. One of the more well-known psalms in the Bible, Psalm 23. This is how it begins. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And what is a shepherd to a sheep? Security, protection, provision, refuge. His safety in times of trouble. But interestingly, David says in verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. And rarely, if ever, do we praise anything. We definitely don't praise anything at all times. But David proclaims that the Lord is worthy of being blessed at all times. Why? Why is the Lord worthy of being blessed at all times? Because God is always worthy of praise, no matter the circumstance. Proverbs 18:10 says, he is our strong tower. The righteous will run into it and are safe. Because he is all-powerful, all-knowing, sovereign over all creation, he is the creator. He formed you in your mother's womb and knows the number of hairs on your head. Typically, we praise the Lord when things are going well in our life. Maybe that's a more natural response. And I call those of us who do that fair weather praisers. But when the storms of life come, who do we turn to? Is our refuge God when calamity strikes? When we don't get that promotion? When we've been wronged by a loved one? When someone leaves an 8% tip on a $150 tab, that one's for me. Who do we run to, right? In all seriousness, do we praise the Lord in all circumstances? And David writes, I will bless the Lord. He commands himself to do it. When we take our eyes off ourselves, off our circumstances, off our idols, off the cares of this world, and look to the author and perfecter of our faith, we can't help but break out in praise. In the good, in the bad, and the ugly, praise the Lord, who is our refuge. And when we do, and we are in the company of others, and we encourage them to give praise too, there's a multiplication of worship. Look at verses 1 and 2. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Boasting in the Lord sounds good to other believers. The humble hear and rejoice in what their king has done for others. Think of testimonies or baptisms, right? When somebody gets up here or in a different context and shares their testimony, when they share that God Almighty has taken them from death to life, does that not encourage your heart? Do you not feel a sense of wonder and praise for God that would do that for somebody else, let alone you? And what about baptisms, right? It's a symbol of, it's a public declaration of who we are in Christ. Does that not encourage your soul when you see that? The humble believer knows that God is the refuge for all who call upon the name of the Lord. But the proud seek to find their refuge in their achievements, their money, their status. Don't be the proud, be the humble. Take refuge in the Lord, for he alone is worthy. This is our first point. When God is our refuge, our response will be praise. Verses 1 to 3. Point 2. When God is our refuge, our experience will be. Look with me at verses 4 to 14. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from deceit, from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. When the Lord is our refuge, we experience peace. Back to David's life. He often found himself in situations that would garner fear. Fighting off lions, tigers, and bears. Oh my. Fleeing from a mad king, Saul. Wars, his own son trying to usurp him. But David writes in verse 4, I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all of my fears. Now the nuance here is that we will still experience fear. And fear is a powerful emotion. I remember hearing a study once that asked people what they are most afraid of. The number one answer
was public speaking. The number two answer was death. So people would literally rather die than have to public speak. And I resonate with that. But the promise isn't that we won't experience fear on this side of eternity, but that we will ultimately be delivered. And deliverance might come from immediate relief or divine intervention, or it might come when we draw our last breath and come face to face with our God in ultimate peace and security. But regardless of how it comes, the promise is made to those who find refuge in God and God alone. When we walk in times of fear, where do we go? A verse that has encouraged me in my heart when I've been afraid is something that my father used to tell me. Growing up, we had this long hallway in our household, and the way that my dad tried to get us to memorize scripture is he would start the verse, and then you were expected to finish it. So you would just be passing in the hallway, and my father would quote these words. It comes out of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. So he would say, "For God," and our response would be, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind." What else do we experience when God is our refuge? This one's my favorite. Joy. Experience joy when God is our refuge. David writes in verse 5 that those who look to the Lord are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. During this Christmas season, we're going to see decorations all over the place that say joy, and there'll be people in the holiday spirit spreading cheer. You know, about a year ago, four young men from this very congregation banded together to start a podcast. And one of the episodes that was released was during the Advent season. And the question arose, what does joy look like in a Christian life? And it's a good question. And those four brilliantly dull young men stumbled upon something profound. Christians experience true joy not because of anything external that could be stripped away, but because they have come in contact with the maker of joy, the one who is joy himself, Jesus Christ. You see, only those who have been born of the Spirit can experience true joy. Those who take refuge in the one who bore the weight of their sin and guilt and have been washed by the blood. They are altogether new. And the radiance of a person who takes refuge in the Lord is hard to miss. Verse 8 says, "They have tasted and they have seen that the Lord is good." I think of the woman at the well in the Gospel of John, chapter 4. After coming in contact with Jesus and being told everything that she had done, she ran back to her village to tell everybody. Now, the scriptures don't tell us what she looked like after that conversation, but I like to imagine that she was radiant, that she was more beautiful than she had ever been because she had come in contact with Emmanuel, God with us. And like her, those of us who have experienced the thirst-quenching goodness of the living water, we are humbled before a holy God and long to see those around us redeemed. My prayer is that this body would be filled with the joy of our salvation, and that we would long for those around us to experience the refuge we find in Christ. Joy, radiance, and peace that surpasses all understandings is what we experience when we take refuge in God. This is our second point. When God is our refuge, our experience will be peace and joy. So the first point, when God is our refuge, our response will be praise. The second point, When God is our refuge, our experience will be peace and joy. And our third and final point, when God is our refuge, he is our redeemer. Look with me at verses 15 to 22. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears towards their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all of their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Notice how the subject changes from David to God in verse 15 to 22. These verses are filled with God moving towards his people to provide refuge for them. Verse 15 says, the eyes of the Lord are towards the righteous. And the question has to be asked, who among us is righteous? Who among us is worthy of the Lord looking upon? The Bible clearly states that none of us are righteous, not on our own accord. So how can we be considered righteous to God? Only by Christ's redeeming work on the cross. And redemption in the Bible typically has a salvation element to it, being redeemed from sin to God. And I think Romans 5, verses 8 to 11, speak to this idea of redemption most clearly. Hear these words and follow with the screen behind. Romans 5, verse 8 to 11. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. In the context of Psalm 34, as David is writing this, he's probably thinking more of a physical or military redemption. Remember, he's just pulled a fast one over the king of Gath, right? And has lived to tell the tale about it. But in our context, as New Testament believers, we get the privilege to look through Scripture with the lens of Christ. And in this season of Advent, we are taking time to recognize the coming of our Lord, caught in the in-between of the first and second coming. We can be comforted by these important promises for those who take refuge in the Lord. Verses 18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Our Redeemer, the one in whom we take refuge, cares for you. He draws near to us and saves us. Verse 22, the Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. It's the gospel message. We have been bought with a price that Christ has paid, and now we have been redeemed. Therefore, in Romans 8, 1, we have this verse. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Be in Christ. Take refuge in the Lord. To wrap up our time, I want to leave with these encouragements. First, to the believer, make God your refuge and lift your eyes off yourself and sing praises to the one who is worthy of all praise. Make God your refuge and experience peace and joy. Be radiant with the joy of your salvation and unashamed. Invite others to taste and see that the Lord is good. Make God your refuge, and he will be your redeemer. Be found in Christ and cherish the glory of knowing your heavenly Father. And to those who are not yet believers, my prayer is that you would come to know the Lord as refuge. And I recognize that life can be hard and that a lot of life happens Sunday to Sunday. I understand that not all of us know what safety, love, and warmth might feel like, but I would plead with you, come, taste and see that the Lord is good. Find your refuge in the one who cares for you. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we ask, Lord, that we would continue to find our refuge in you. Lord, that we would sing praises to you, not just this morning, but the rest of our lives would be a song of praise to the one to whom we find refuge in. Father, I ask that we would consider the Prince of Peace, that we would be drawn to Christ in all that we do. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Be with us now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, blessed is the one who takes refuge in our God. As we respond through song, meditate on this truth of the blessings that God has imparted to human hearts through the Son who has become incarnate for us, and look forward to his return. Would you stand now and sing?
Town of Bethlehem, how still we see the light above thy deep and dreamless sleep. The silent stars go by, yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wandering love. O morning stars together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to this gift is given, so God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his hand. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in.
Well, at Vine Street Baptist Church, we believe that when the word is preached, it requires a response. So, as is usual for our weekly services, please take a few moments and silently reflect on the word that was preached this morning. Amen. Go in peace.